Karen Ward, present.
And Ken Molnix, present. And I would like to ask everyone to join us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Kitty, would you lead us, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to thank everybody for coming out tonight on a winter evening. Are there any added agenda items?
Maybe under discussion, but they're not agenda items.
Okay.
We do need to decide on a meeting date. We can put that on. It's up. We need a meeting date to meet with our sewer water consultant. And it'll be an extra meeting for 4 hours in January.
Okay.
And I try to have right around our work session, but within a day or two, I know you're coming back from Mexico, so we'll make that an agenda item for a sewer water study meeting.
Okay.
And put that at the end.
All right. Okay, yeah, let's go down here. Okay. Item 5 is the consent agenda.
Mr. Mayor, I need to state a possible conflict of interest with that. Order was go to bill.
All right. Let the record reflect that. And is there a motion to any discussion on the consent agenda?
Patty, this is the old one.
If not, is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Mr. Mayor, I do have a question.
Okay.
On the reimbursements, are we a month behind?
I lost those.
You lost them, okay.
I lost them. That's my fault.
I mean, I'm sorry that you called. But
it's okay.
Thank you.
At least I own it.
Oh, yes. Thank you for that. Perfect. All done.
Okay.
I so move. Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? It's approved unanimously. Item 6 is public comments.
It's still in November.
That's the one I have.
Okay.
It should be the right one, though.
Is it?
Okay. It must just have the wrong date on it.
Okay. I'm wondering why that's in your incentive agenda.
What's that?
The financial summary. I thought we had had that outside the consent agenda before.
When Summer was here, it was pretty typical to have it outside the consent agenda because she was here to give you a report on it. Brenda generated those reports. And
we were going to about quarterly have Tori spend the time to go over it. But you can pull it out and you can look at it if you want. But that is what even Summer said. We do it like every 3 months.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So it doesn't work.
I know there's a time that we should do it.
Yeah, and actually, that's fine.
Okay. And there's no public comment. We'll move to item number 7. Appointment of Scott Morgan to the Deschutes County Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee.
He's not here. We have a committee that the county works. This gentleman just recently kind of moved here, lives down here off 6 somewhere that way, and he's a bicyclist. He's a retired
Navy
guy, kind of a young retiree, He loves biking, and he's went to a couple of their meetings. They needed someone from Lapine, and they said that, I thought actually he was fine, he wanted to do what they were doing. Then they said they actually need an approval that we would appoint him to this. And he's come down and met me one-on-one, and he has attended a couple of meetings, and you knew
him. I met him. Extremely energetic, competent person, I thought. 100% retired, military background.
They meet and talk about the whole county, bike trails, and you know, it's an advisory committee they have.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there a motion to approve the appointment of Scott Morgan to the Deschutes County Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's approved unanimously to appoint Scott Morgan to the Deschutes County Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee. Will we send a letter?
Yeah, we'll send a letter down to the advisory committee. Ashley or Patty, make up a letter that we appointed him, and I'll get you the email of them, just to, so it's in their records.
Okay, item number 8, appointment of mayor and councilors to various committees for 2014-15. You have in front of you item number 8 in the consent number. Councilor committees current.
Then we need to add LED.
Hmm.
CYC, COACT, Small Cities, COCO, and LED. Is there any others you can think of that we kind of are monthly or every other month?
There is a very strong, Stu, what was that? Water safety, water resources, WAG or
what? I know the one you're talking about.
You looked into it one time.
Up to the north of us.
Yes.
Yes. Upper Deschutes River Coalition.
No.
It's that's actually.
Are you talking about the Deschutes basin, when it gets into water, DAW Deschutes, yeah. Water lines.
Water line. DWA.
We've never had anyone assigned to that.
But they had asked at some time in the past for a member to that.
There's tons of these to be on. So you do have to decide who's going to go, and actually I need to attend a couple of those.
Right.
So mine is kind of like all these, I did it this week because I was gone on vacation last week, which was only partial vacation, but I did the conference call on, I mean, you do all of these. There are so many committees.
I know.
That's all you will do if that's what you're going to do. Because they like to fill their blanks and say, we have someone from every town. And my theory is, if you're really not gonna go and get involved, you're better off not having someone, because then otherwise they'll say, you were involved. Mm-hmm. But if you never attend.
And you knew about this, yeah.
Yeah. So the DWA, I've been gonna go to.
The reason why I might think about it, and you're right, it needs to have somebody that really understands water, is that there's a multi-million dollar fund that they're going to take money from, and there's a million of it going to be spent here in Central Oregon to look at and develop water legislation.
That's exactly why I might have to start going.
Yeah.
Because I talked, Alan Unger and I had lunch, and Alan chairs it.
Right.
And, this is pretty... kind of a technical type thing,
and it's and with our water
with our water thing, that's why
we might need to be involved. So I think the council can consensus that our city manager involve himself.
Yeah, that's
welcome back.
Yeah.
All right. Currently, CYC. I am on the executive committee and have been there for 4 years. There's a lot going on there at this point in time. COAC is, I've been on that for 4 years, and I honestly know and feel that that I think I've had some influence in ODOT's attention to South County. COCO is a Central Oregon Cities organization, and I'm on that one. I think it would, I not only think, I would like to be on those again, and I think with the tenure, it's something that helps us. Then we have the Small Cities Network, which is Councilor Jones and Councilor Agin. My backup on the COAC has been Councilor Jones, and on the COIC is Councilor Agin, and they've always been able to rise to the occasion when and attend those meetings. I know you like to go to them, and I.
Yeah,
I know you have.
I'm happy with the way things are.
Oh, and then there's LED, and Professor Martinez is on the LED committee, representing the city.
I would like to be secondary, if I could ask, on the LED. Becca, Stu, I'd like to attend that occasionally.
Okay. Council, any objections? Okay. So,
could I ask a question?
Yes.
There's a committee that within Deschutes County called the, let's see, what do they call themselves? CAG, I think it is. I would like to represent us on that. None of us have done that, and I would like to do that. I also would like to represent us on the meetings for the park board.
We don't, you could just attend. We don't actually have a seat to just, like, if you wanted to go to it. So you could, yeah, I think it's fair to say, hey, I like to go to park meetings once in a while. But we don't have, we've never had anyone assigned, like, to attend the parks meeting.
Right.
I go every other meeting. You know, so, but it would be nice to have someone else there. I think it is good to have someone else there, actually. Kitty's been to a few of them when I've been there, but, you know, they're a big player with us and around us, so.
I think it'd be a good idea to have, if somebody wants to go and you want to be that person to go,
I'd like to do that.
Just as an attendee, then, yeah.
Yeah, because they don't mean, it'd be like if they decided to start sending someone to our meeting, they just sit in the audience.
Yeah.
So what you do is you sit in the audience, and then if they have something, you might take a note, or you might, they might ask you a question, or something.
Okay.
But I get that.
What is that?
Well, I was going to ask, could you explain what CAG means?
Is that CAG?
CAG.
Okay.
Citizens Action Group?
They have to do with water in this board.
We've never had a member from the city council go to that. I mean, it's a membership organization.
Well, they've asked me if I would like to represent it. That's why I'm asking you if I can do that.
Well, like I think the mayor said, it's a membership organization, which means there's a fee to be a member.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm a member.
And I don't go on.
She wouldn't have to join if they're saying for her to just go, maybe because there were the public agents there that's going to let her sit there to attend. It's a private group. I mean, technically they can throw anyone out they want.
Or well, they asked me.
Yeah.
There would be no vote?
No. There would be. I would only go there so that I could report back to here if there's something that needs to come back. And that's what they're asking.
I think that goes along with the Park and Rec Board if you want to go and do that.
Well, I didn't want to go without asking.
I
think anyone, it's open if they're open to the public.
So if you feel comfortable going to that, I think it's I think I hear the council saying,
yes.
Have at it.
Okay.
Good deal.
Okay. So, we've heard who's currently on those committees. Is there any other discussion or comments? Then, I think, do we need a vote? I don't think
so. Yeah, I would. Every year you need to make it to where, because what happens is the same people end up running the same committees, and it's kind of the old railroad, and it's, you know, you want to make sure that these things don't go on for life. Mm-hmm. People get to move things around, and it's, you know, and because you want to make sure it strives to be balanced, but if this is what people are comfortable, I think you need a vote so it's on the record.
Okay.
You know, some people don't want to go to night meetings, some don't want to drive to Redmond. A lot of your committees are all in Redmond.
Right.
And a lot of people don't want to be out doing that, you know, mm-hmm. So. And the ones that the mayor's going to, those are all very important because they're regional transportation, and the other, of course, is transit, upcoming transit issues, and then COCO is legislative. So it's not one you want someone not to show up for sure.
Right.
So, and you do show up.
Yeah, I do. So. I do. So I guess we just go forward by saying, is there anybody that would, or we could, anybody want to make a motion to keep it as it is?
Mr. Mayor, I make a motion we retain the representatives to the committees with the addition of Councilor Hagan as the alternate to the legislature.
Second.
It's been motion and seconded to keep the committees as they are, with Councilor Hagan as the secondary to the LED group. Is there any further discussion?
I'd like to, on discussion, invite Mr. Parker in his busy schedule. Any of these meetings you're welcome to attend, but just to sit in just like we were talking, it's good to have a presentation.
Okay. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? It's unanimously approved. We'll keep what we got with the addition of Councilor Hagan as the secondary attendee to the LED. And it was unanimous, so of course I'm sure you picked that up. Discussion on the date and time of swearing in ceremony of mayor and councilor. Okay.
Yeah, so what did you guys want to do? Because we have newly elected a couple council people and the mayor, and you know, it's kind of up to you when you travel. I would say probably either Monday or do it before the council meeting or something. Council actually meets on the 8th, so that's second Wednesday, so it's so close. You could do it just before the council meeting if you wanted. We have no new people. So
it's the, excuse me, Rick, it's the 14th.
Is it the 14th?
Yeah.
Oh, let me go look. Well, the 8th is the 2nd, isn't it?
That's the, I'm making sure this calendar I got.
Got the right calendar. Right. Let me see. I got a calendar. But
it is right.
I got one of the ones that has the, oh, the Sunday on the right side. Nothing throws you more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then if you wanted to do that on that Monday the 5th, well, it's up to you. I mean, we're not going to be conducting any business or doing any, so, you know, people do it a lot of different ways. The charter, and I was just looking.
There's a charter in the charter.
Yeah. So.
That charter said before on the first meeting of the new year.
Why don't we?
I read it twice today.
I couldn't find our website, which I know it's there. But you,
well, it's laying in on the tables in there. Yeah. I read it twice today, and there's no reference to the date of swearing.
I read it, and there was.
Okay.
Well, actually, we'll read it and tell you.
On the first
business meeting. I'm comfortable with that.
Yeah. You know, if you had a bunch of new people coming in, that's when they're all excited. They get on their new clothes and you get the photos and everyone comes down.
Well, we're excited.
Yeah. So, since you're all veterans, it's kind of like a process. But what's up to you, whatever you guys want to do.
Council, is there consensus we hold it on the first meeting of January?
Yes.
Yeah,
we'll just do it at the beginning of the meeting.
Okay.
Yeah.
The second item is I've asked Tony DeBone to swear me in, and would he consider swearing the other counselors in? And he said yes, he'd be more than honored.
Well, you just do them all at once. You just have everyone, I think. But whatever. Yeah, if he's here, just have him do it.
Is that acceptable?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just have a quick question. Are you guys having a meeting? I'm sorry.
Discussion on the date and time for swearing in ceremony of mayor and council is settled. And approval of professional service agreement with Perry Anderson, master plan update, sewer and water.
Inside your little extra packet there, you have two schedules, and what we'll need is that the motion we're going to need is to authorize me to sign a professional services agreement with Anderson Perry after we get it back from Jeremy Green's review. But these are what will be in it. So this is, we got our $40,000 worth of grants to study the sewer and water systems. We have to match with $5,000. And Anderson Perry's the one working out there on the cable lift, or the wiki up lift stations and everything. And this kind of will tell you what types of things we're going to do. You'll notice and a lot of it is going to be looking at the cable area and how it impacts our system. They're going to look at our current systems with cable, without cable, find out, you know, what kind of improvements need to be made, basically come up with a cost. So we would know what it would cost to add on out there. And then they'll help recommend financing options and everything else. We have to do this to get grants and loans.
Right.
And you also need this to be able to tell people out there what it might cost. So we'll be looking at, you know, I made sure that he put in here, you know, working on the cable. And the other thing is, I want us to review the heading, this little pipe going, taking the affluent east. You know, we got the land for it, but, you know, that's never been, it's one of those, I call it the Lapine
mystery.
Mysteries that, you know, it's talked about and everyone said you were going to do it, but, and it's in the plan. It's in the current master plan that the districts, of course, we didn't operate it then, but the districts have it in there. But it's $1.5 million, and I want to know if this current plant and everything can handle it. Why are we going east? And the difference in sewer rates are significant, because our consultants that are working on it I had them do it both ways, with and without that additional loan, and it has quite a difference in the cost. And if, so if we can take on Kegel and still that plant has capacity, it would be unusual for someone to go spend $1.5 million just because it's been reported in the bid bulletin enough times that you're doing it. I haven't found any order that we have to do it. We're not under any timeline, deadline. I think that it got caught up in the whole South County sewer, keg, and you name it. And then those things go from folklore to policy to when are you doing it? And when you trace it back, probably none of it's true. So it's kind of like the rodeo grounds, you know. We got federal land for the rodeo grounds, and they bought their own land, and we got 700 acres to put affluent on. I wasn't around when all these requests were made. And I don't know that anyone ever looked to say, what does $1.5 million do to your sewer rates? But
make a difference.
What makes a huge difference? There's 600 accounts.
Yeah.
And you can do the math, spread it out over 20 years or 30 years, you take a bid and a half with interest, and it is a, it's a number. It's not a dollar or two. And so then, you know, so I'm like, so I want these guys to look at, you know, is it something we can do in 10 years, 15 years? But if the current plant is good for 10, 15 years, then, you know, we don't have to worry about it at this point.
Rick, do they, when they look at this, do they also look at our comp plan and our growth rate of how many we expect to have in 20 years?
Yes.
Is that where they get some of the basis for?
And the old plan was based, you know, the basis was like 03, 04, 05. Well, you know what was happening then?
Lots of growth.
Lots of growth. And so then that says you need to have this or that in 5 years or 10 years. Well, now you're in 2014 and from the last 8 years, none, virtually.
Zero.
So when you look at a 20-year, you probably have to put in some, Jerry and I were just up there talking about, you know, maybe it's 0.75% or 1%. You know, the state of Oregon grew last year at like 1.8, and that includes the Bends and the Portlands that are growing faster. And, you know, but a town like ours, you know, you may have some 2 or 3% years, but you might have a zero when you go out 20 years. And so, but if you overestimate, then that throws you. So you're better off being conservative. So if you put in something like, so then they'll figure up the new accounts, and how that all works. So
I have one question for Rick on the cable issue. Do we move forward without 100% agreement of the homeowners out there, or?
Well, that will ultimately be a decision of the council, but if the question is 100%, of course. I mean, that's safe to say. You couldn't get 100% of the people to agree on anything. So, are you comfortable at 50%, 40%, 60%? And there's some things that councils do that 75% don't like. That doesn't mean you don't do it. So, it's...
Is that a number that we could get from this study? You know, where would be a break-even point for us so that we're not throwing money out and seeing a negative return?
Are you thinking in that line of thinking that if only 50% want it, that the only 50% are taking it?
Well, yeah, I'm saying if we get 50% hookup out there, run the lines to everybody. But if we only get 50% hookup, is that gonna balance?
When the sewer lines are run, they all hook up.
Yeah.
They have no option.
Okay.
Because the state of Oregon and the DEQ, if there's a law that's a sewer line within 300 feet or something like that, you must hook on.
Okay. Well,
so
good.
But the question is, you may end up hold hearings and 3/4 of the people are against it.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you don't do it. You also got to have 75% for it, and that doesn't mean you do it. It's this is going to be kind of, you know, the larger picture. Yeah. But the differences are huge if we can not move east with that line and other things. You know, he thinks he saved $1.5 million or $1 million running a second line in from out there to Kegel. Mm-hmm. Well, you start taking these out of the master plan. The current plan has all that in it. So the new, what he updates, this stuff might come out. The water system, not quite as dicey just because it's newer. It's all new pipes, it's served pretty well, it's hydrated pretty well, except in Kegel. But we don't have a big system thing to do.
Right.
You know, we might need a second well in 10 years or 15 years based on growth. If a BioGreen came, obviously you need it with it. But that's not in the plan, of course, so. So what I'd like you to do is we'll have to, in the next couple weeks, we'd have it. He wants to start in January. And you can see, this won't be done until October. And that schedule is there. It takes quite a while. And we have a year under the grants to kind of complete it. Then after this would be, what you'd do next is we'd start, we'd have some numbers, and we would find out what it's going to cost, you know, once you get the totals. Then we will maybe update our rate guys look at that, then you're going to be able to tell people kind of, you know, you start hunting for grants and loans, but we'll hold meetings with people. This is worst case if there's no grants. If we get $1 million worth of grants, this is what it is, and, you know, and so on. And so I would say about a year for this, a year for the next phase, and then it'll be about 2 years from now is probably when you would decide to move forward, to actually construct it. And then you would engineer it for a year, and spend a year building it. So this is a 4 to 5 year process. So a motion would be to authorize me to sign a professional services agreement based on the schedules that you've been provided to update our sewer and water master plans, and that includes looking at the Cagle Glenwood Acres area.
Okay.
Is there a motion to authorize the city manager to sign this agreement? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay.
So moved.
When it's provided. It's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
And second? Discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? It's unanimous. Approval? Okay. Is this part of the consent agenda?
Yeah, it was added after the packets were prepared.
Oh, okay. So, but it was part of the consent agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Discussion of medical marijuana growing, a commercial growing Lapine Industrial Park.
Okay, so this is, you know, I just wanted you, I'd like you fully informed, mostly. I did get a call from someone from down here Monday, and they were all rattled up. And because of the bulletin, if you read the small print somewhere in there, they put a few agenda teasers, and this was the teaser of our meeting tonight. So, there. This is just a piece of agenda. In our industrial park, we had a new industrial building built, and company called Pangea Organics LLC, and they have occupied one of our newest industrial buildings out there. They've occupied the whole thing. So when I went to get them to fill out a business license, I had my suspicions just by the construction and everything else. But then it confirmed. And so I hadn't signed off on their business license yet. And I just wanted to make sure you were aware of it. And then this came along. I did not know that till today. I think I might have read a little thing. But tucked in our budget deficit bill the other day, over the weekend, when they add hundreds of bills onto the backs of these.
Never read them.
They, no one reads them, and it's their way of passing things that they don't want to talk about. So, there's the headline, the Los Angeles Times. Congress quietly ends the federal government's ban on medical marijuana. So how we've all been talking about it's a violation of federal law, that's no longer. So, that is a kind of a mute point, because the gray area kind of was, if you're saying the medical marijuana that they're doing, it's a violation of federal law. What they're doing is, they are not a dispensary. Nobody can go there and buy it. Nobody goes there and hands them money. There's no door to, I mean, there's a door for them to go in, but it's not a retail shop. And so it's not a dispensary. What they are is, and this is my term, because under the marijuana rules, it's weird how they word this. So it's technically a little different, but just for the sake of ease, they're a wholesale. They grow, and then it is shipped, transported to medical marijuana card-carrying people. You or I, if you have a medical marijuana card, cannot go down there and say, I want an ounce or a joint or an edible. It's not legal. They're not licensed for it. They can't do that. They do not have, they're not licensed as a medical dispensary because they're a wholesaler. It'd be like the brewer, and then you buy the beer at the store, or you buy it, but in their case, they can't even sell it to you off the dock. You cannot go there and buy it. The Oregon State Police Sergeant for this division has toured it. I talked to him on the phone. I talked to their lieutenant out of the Bend office commander, and him and this sergeant had talked about it, but they toured it and left saying, keep doing what you're doing. because it's not illegal. So I went there today. I've been there three times and the door's always been locked, but today the door was open in a few inches, and so I scared the kid. But there's an employee in there, and it's a very, call it a commercial, it is definitely a commercial operation, and all the licenses are on the wall of everything from the state. And it has lights, and it's got big power run in there, all through electricians from Seven Peaks or somebody. They're electricians. I mean, it's all stamped, approved. And they have them from babies to adults. I mean, to be honest, it was educational for me because he's a nice young kid, and he walked all through me. He was very open about it, and he said that's why when the state police just walked in, he says, come on in. It's not illegal. We're not doing anything wrong. So it is kind of interesting what's going on in there. And then they have still, and they make the raw liquid. The thing goes in edibles. And then that all go, he's got computers set up and everything else, and this then is the ingredients that would be made. They don't make edibles there, but it goes to bakeries. And then the bakeries make the edibles. So they're a wholesale commercial manufacturer of the products. It's owned by this gentleman, who's a younger guy, and the other owner is an attorney in Portland who has called me. And I don't know where this stuff goes to, if it goes all over. But he assured me that none of it's sold here, and he has no Lapine City customers, and you cannot come there and buy, and he wouldn't sell it to you if you did come there.
Do we know when they started that business?
It's about 2 months ago.
Oh, so it's rather...
Oh, it's new. Yeah.
But they... Yeah, we would have had our license.
Well, he's applied. I've had it.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
They're open. I mean, they don't... No one stops working because they don't have a license. They just, you know... Okay. And we don't have any basis to really turn it down. It's not a... We have a ban on the dispensaries, and they're not a dispensary. They've studied the laws. They know... These guys all know what they're doing. And the dispensary laws are going to go away in May.
Yeah, now the feds have backed out.
they've
done their little.
And then magic. We legalized it recreationally, yeah. So that's coming. So I just wanted you to know about it, and if any of you, you know, I guess if you demanded me not to sign it, I could not sign it, and then, you know, they could sue us because, you know, they're probably not going away. And so, you know, we'd have to ramp up legal costs. So I just wanted, you know, it's your city. You guys get to make those decisions. So unless somebody says they want to do anything with it, we'll just, you know, like I say, the state police have already been there. And he did tell me it was fine.
Mr. Mayor. So you've talked to the person that's working there, and that's
he's
not the owner?
He's a 50% owner.
50% owner. I mean, you got my curiosity piqued now. I mean, would he be open to tours?
Yeah, I think we could set something up to let you, he's still kind of putting things away, he's got boxes around, doing all of it, but I think he would, you know. He's going to get his alarm and everything because, you know, it's kind of one of those businesses. So he's getting things set up for it. So I think at this point, but we could definitely do that. Would you all like to go tour it?
Yeah.
Because he's just down from...
Where is it?
It's
in the industrial park.
Police?
OSP.
Yeah, it's right next door to the state police.
Okay.
The sergeant told me, he said I was driving by and the garage door was up. And you can see them. And I went by before and saw them in there, but I didn't pull in. I knocked on the door before and no answer. But this time, I went and I did decide to go in. But
interesting. I mean, it's a new business in Lapine.
They'll have a couple employees in there. He said he works 12 hours a day in there to get the watering and all the little things that go with it, and they had several varieties and how it's all done and how you clip it off and, you know, different kinds. kinds of lights, and I mean, there is obviously more to it. The person growing at home, problem. You may see more of this because this is right. Where.
Mine?
Go ahead.
And if anybody else wants to weigh in, please.
Or our zoning. I went and looked up our zoning. Our zoning allows the production of agricultural products. Because you could have someone growing indoor tomatoes. I mean, it's.
And it
meets in our industrial zone.
With our low initial costs for these companies, are we going to get 10 of them out there?
That remains to be seen.
It'll be 10.
Yeah. You know what's going to happen.
You're going to turn into Northern California as well.
What I think you're going to see is you're going to see too many people wanting in the business because they're all going to see gold. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to find a bunch dropping out.
It'll be false gold.
Yeah. Because to set it up, to set it up with the money like this, it's cheaper to go put a greenhouse on your property. I mean, to take a building like this. So but Greg, it's very possible.
I mean, we have no control over that, right?
No. And I think it's one of those things, we'll know more next year, because next year, July 1, they can grow at home.
And we can grow at home.
Yeah, anyone can. July 1st, you can grow four plants. At home. Then
come to my house.
Yeah. You know, there isn't going to be, not every town can have a big commercial operation. It just isn't going to be, it's kind of like distilleries. You can end up with one here or there. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just concerned, because we have cheap land and, that helps them get started with a lower initial cost.
We have cheap land.
I'd like to see manufacturing plants or something that actually puts people to work rather than a big steel building full of pot.
Yeah. I don't know how they chose us.
Was the building there or did they build it?
Randy.
They built it. That's right. They built it. Yeah.
And here I just brought, I asked around this. This is one of the labels that says, this is the Cannabis Collective, and these were in a cry-backed package that they'll they can get shipped to someone, and then they put it on their shelf. And this says hash plant ancestry plant variation imported from Holland in the 80s, G13 ancestry, U.S. government research development, genetic variation, pangacannabis.com, batch number, THC. It's called Mr. Nice, this one is. And then this is the sticker that goes on the cryback. He had somebody sitting there, the cryback with the pot in the back of it. And then this is if you need a grower, I don't know, this is advertising or something. I think some people can't grow it. And then they maybe pay them to grow it. But then the person gets it for free. I don't know. But
Any further discussion around our newly opened business in the industrial park? Hearing none,
I think that if they're going to be here and they're going to be in a building and they're going to be in business, we need to look at giving them a business license. Since we expect everybody else to buy one, we need to expect them to buy one. And from the look of things, we can't stop this.
I think this is valid, very valid. And I think this is where the city manager comes in. I'm sure he talks to the city attorney, but I would expect that.
So that's what some people have said. They said, if you're going to have it, get it out of around the neighborhoods, have it in a commercial operation that is regulated, that's monitored, you can walk in and look at it. And it's not running around in a bunch of little neighborhoods where thugs are trying to break into them and everything. So
that would be my say. I don't like it. But I don't think we have a choice. And the fact that they can't go up to the building and buy, at least currently,
that may be
the only,
sending that to Ashley.
plus I see, so. Not in favor of it, but I know there's nothing we can do about it.
The fire department had signed off on it already.
At least it's on the other side of town.
True.
Out.
Right.
Oh, wait. It's not where our kids are going to walk past it every day.
Anything else?
I keep hearing we can't do anything about it. I've heard that a lot, but it's a valid business. It's not illegal anymore.
That goes also to
it's been accepted. Now we voted to make it able to be used recreational. So we are right. There's nothing we can do about it. So we might as well just embrace it, I guess. I mean, it's not going to change. We're not going to go back on that. And so we can look at this as a bad thing and, wish we could change it. But ultimately, it's here. And so we can keep looking at it as a negative thing, or we could see the positives in it as a new business and move forward with that.
Okay.
Get that last page. Stu goes on with that document, that last page. Yes, it goes on the back. Very last page. That's the part of the fire. And then just give that to Ashley and she'll get it.
Okay. That's item number 11. Item number 12, RFP, request for proposal, insurance agent of record.
I was wondering if you guys wanted to go out, since I was hearing before, we had Art Euchre, and I didn't know that business had sold until I sent him an email. Art was in Hawaii and gone, but Washington Federal Bank bought it as an insurance company. And so it was the quietest merger. It's been there for 3 months. And I had sent an email out asking about bonds, how much bonds would cost. And I went to our agent of record and I got an automated response back from somebody. I sent it to Art Euchre. And then it came back from someone else with WAFED.com. I thought, he was going to be out of those. Gone for a week, he'd get back to me, never heard from him. Month went by, and I saw Rex. And Rex said, that sold, WAFED owns it. And I'm like, So I called the guy at WAFED, and I said, did you know that you had, you're our agent of record at the City of Lapine? And he said, well, I'd already met, I thought, with all the larger customers, which we would be one of the largest. And he said, no, I've never heard from you. You responded back. You never even replied to me. So he says, well, he's in Lapine once a month for a day from Eugene. So I just thought it's probably appropriate, since it's been 4 or 5 years, to see if we want to go out and let companies, they can certainly put their name in for it like anyone else. And Rex had asked me a year ago, once the districts came over, I guess a year or 2 years now, Rex had said, hey, are you going to go out for agent of record? And what the agent of record does, that's who represents us. They shop for our insurance for fire liability, workman's comp. If we have a question on coverages, we call. They normally would come around once a year. Art used to do that. Did Art come around, I think, before? I don't know. I think when I was mayor, that was kind of traditional. They would come around once a year and say, hey, here's your rates. Everything's going good. I think you should do X, Y. And so obviously, I don't know. It's probably time to interview. So what we would do is have a couple, three council people interview. Pick who you want. We do like a 5-year agreement. Now we don't pay them anything. They get a commission from the company. So it's actually free to us. And they're going to use city county insurance anyway. And they get 10%. If we're like a $20,000, $30,000 premium, they're going to make $2,000 or $3,000 a year. And that's what they get paid to be our agent. That's how it works. So I thought I wanted to run by you if you wanted to keep, and I think they did, Kitty, they probably did a process to get an agent of record at one point.
Yeah. Actually, we did. We started out with Rex, and then we changed it a couple of years in.
Okay. So what I do is we'll do that in the next few months if it's something you guys would like to do.
I think it's an appropriate time. I'm not sure that, we keep talking about this shop local. And somebody coming over once a month from Eugene. I think we should do it.
I agree.
Or it may be that your local doesn't have your best rates.
Well,
where you you go to Eugene or Portland, but they still come to make it a point to be here at least once a month.
Yeah. Well, that's what we'll do. We'll pick out two or three to interview. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of there are some companies that kind of specialize with public entities, agents,
right,
and that do a lot of public entities. Because public entities are different, you know. And so that's one of the things when they come in, they're going to tell us how much experience do you have, how many public agencies are you representing, how many here, how many in Deschutes County, how many in Central Oregon, just to get a kind of feel for, are you doing the school district, are you doing City of Bend, are you doing whatever.
Okay.
So if you guys want, we'll sometime get that process this winter and spring.
Okay.
And I did tell the guy that we'd probably go out for it.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Okay, item 12. Item 13, proclamation for Pearl Harbor survivor Chuck Celentine. I think you all have in front of you a proclamation, a copy of a proclamation for this individual. And for the benefit of the record, I will read the proclamation. Proclamation, City of Lapine. Whereas on December the 8th, 2014, the citizens of Lapine learned of the passing of Pearl Harbor and World War II survivor Chuck Celentine at the age of 91, and whereas on December the 7th, 1941, Chuck Celentine was an 18-year-old Coast Guardsman serving on the cutter USS Taney at United States Naval Port Pearl Harbor when the military forces of the Empire of Japan suddenly, without warning, launched a surprise attack on the United States Naval Port of Pearl Harbor, and whereas Chuck Celentine was on watch in the engine room the morning of December the 7th, 1941, when his shipmate came sliding down the rails saying, "The real thing is happening right now," and whereas Chuck Celentine on board the USS Taney during and after the bombing of the United States Naval Port Pearl Harbor, Celentine patrolled the harbor's entrance and dropped the depth charges into the water to destroy or keep at bay any Japanese two-man submarines. And whereas Chuck Celentine survived the attack on the United States Naval Port Pearl Harbor and went on to serve in the Korean War and marrying his beloved wife Marianne, raised four children, he retired in 1978 and moved to Lapine, Oregon. And whereas Chuck Celentine then became president of the Central Oregon chapter of the Pearl Harbor Survivors Association and visited many schools to talk about the fateful day and its message to the country of vigilance against foreign threats. Now therefore be it resolved that at the request of the City of Lapine, the Governor of the State of Oregon hereby permits through proclamation all flags of the United States of America on public buildings within the City of Lapine shall be lowered to half staff on Monday, December the 15th, 2014 from sunrise to sunset in honor and memory of Chuck Celentine, adopted by the City Council this 17th day of December 2014, signed by the Council, attested by the City Manager. Is there a motion to approve the proclamation?
I shall move. Second.
Is there any discussion? Hearing none, it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Did it work its way down to you? To sign it.
I don't think this is the one where it goes.
No, I've got the sign.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, don't forget that.
Yeah.
We just want to make sure you sign it tonight.
No, it's still going to be signed by him.
Okay. Let the record reflect that it's unanimous. Okay. Yeah. There is a hard copy.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Wow, we're getting down there. We could do the rest of this by 7 o'clock. Other matters. This item concerns any matters that were added.
Either the 27th or 28th, it could even be the 29th, but those last days is when the consultants would like to come up. We were going to do about 1:30 because they're flying in from Seattle, so it fits with airplane. So it would start about 1:30 and then last till 4:30, 4:30. It's about a 4 hour. We have a meeting on the 28th, which is our regular, which that night we're doing emergency services things in 1 hour or so, could be 45 minutes of emergency preparedness plan. Deschutes County emergency coordinator will be here to talk about what our role is. We've talked about that a lot, find out what they need from us. And then the other 45 minutes is the fire safety plan that they've been working on. So that night, put on your emergency service hats and your fire hats and your all those things ready for floods, fires, and disasters.
Suspenders.
Yeah, so that will be on the 28th at 6 o'clock. So we'll be here 6 to 8. So your choice is we need to be about 1:30 to 4 to 4:30. You could do it on Wednesday, and then you get an hour off, go home and eat or something, hour and a half. Or have it, you know, the day before, so your brain's all fresh with it. But we are going to invite the Planning Commission and the LED Committee and our Public Works Committee. So we'll have a whole crowd to learn about, because this is pretty detailed. And we're only going to do water and sewer without SDCs. We'll come back again and do SDCs. And then what they'll do is they can then come back with any changes we discuss. Kind of, we come up with some things at that bigger meeting. Part of this reason we need several hours, and people need to become educated. This is not one you can just stand up and give a report. And we need people to understand how complicated the issue is and all the many moving parts that go into this. And I attended the one in Bend for several hours, and the council was there along with other people. They even had a couple key business folks, so we'll think that through. It's not, I mean, anyone can come because it's a quorum, but we're not asking for 200 chamber businesses to come down. This is more sit around, think, talk, ask questions, people that are on committees, and to truly dig in. If you're only going to come for an hour, I probably would say don't come. So it's really a commitment. If you're going to come, try to be here for the whole thing, turn your cell phones off, and dig in, and you'll get your breaks to go text everyone back. Because it's going to be, you know, I find it personally very interesting, and Ashley likes it.
I enjoy it.
Yeah, it is.
A lot of work went into this rate study, though. Yeah. 4 hours is really minimal compared to the amount of time that's went into it before this. So if you can't commit the 4 hours, don't bother.
And what were the hours again?
Well, 1:30 to 4:30. He said 1:30. Can't be here by 1 because airplanes. Right. So 1:30 to, again, it could be 4:15.
I'd like to keep it on the same day if we could. Make it a whole one day.
That Wednesday's fine. That was on a day he can be here. It's really up to you guys, if you know. And then you.
So you're saying on
28th.
Wednesday the 28th?
That's a day.
And go both in, then go into the council?
Well, that's at 6. We're going to be done at 4:30.
Right,
so you
I understand. Okay. That's problematic for me.
I thought you were going to be back.
I will arrive that afternoon.
Oh. Well, we could do it on the 29th. That was the day.
I would support a fresher.
Fresher?
Yeah.
We could do Thursday. That was on the list.
Mm-hmm.
29th.
Yes. Or the
28th. Or the 27th. If you're not here, you won't be here.
29th would work great for me.
We need you there. I mean, we want to try to get all the council and everything, and then obviously some of the people on the public works and stuff. Hopefully, Mr. Fleming will be here, and we'll get Jerry and some of his folks, and yes, all you're planning commission folks, aren't you? So, but. You know, if you can't be here, it's fine, but we will. And then we'll come back in a couple, 3 weeks and do SDCs. And I told him, don't even try to get that all into one. There's too many numbers and too many things.
Okay.
So I'm going to recommend the 29th.
Yeah. Are we in consensus for the 29th? We'll move forward.
Okay. Thank you. Ashley, Patty, make sure you note of that. The 29th, 1:30 to 4:30. And we'll have snacks.
4 hours. 4 hours of a day for me is a lot of time. I know I left basketball practice early to be here today, and I don't know what my game schedule is.
You know what the intent and the everything is. So I know you'd try your very best.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll keep you up there.
Thank you, Stuart.
All right.
I watched him at his basketball game last night.
Oh.
Well, you missed the first, you were hustling down on, but you missed those first three baskets or something. I think there was a couple and I was thinking you should.
I missed one.
Okay, I remember it.
I could have missed more.
You did better than the JV team.
It's time for a public comment, and
I don't have a comment, I have a question.
Please.
I just want to clarify, we moved the dates for planning commission and city council meetings.
There was a temporary rearrangement
for this
meeting because of the 10th was St. Andrew's on vacation. And so that's a temporary thing, so it'll all flop back to the 2nd and 3rd.
Okay.
And the 4th is the 24th, it'll be Christmas Eve, so we were just going to meet once, so by doing it the 3rd, we're in the middle of the month.
Okay. So thank you.
It would not be normally.
Yeah. Okay. Good point. Any further public comment? Anybody? Okay.
One more. How big is that warehouse that they're growing in?
I have no idea.
I own some of those buildings like that, so I'm standing there picturing. I know how big they are. About 3,600 square feet. About 1,800 a unit, and it takes both units. So when you go inside, it's open between them. To the outside, it's two units because it could be anything forever. I mean, other people will come and go in there. It has two meter boxes, two everything.
Okay. Rick, on that point, is that owned by those people? Do they own the building?
No, they rent it.
They rent the building, so it's owned by...
It was built by a Salem developer.
Ah, okay. Thank you. Public comment?
Just real briefly on this question about the grow operation, the distribution. I know this is coming up around Central Oregon and other communities. EDCO addressed it at an internal staff meeting and has formally taken a neutral position for the time being. But you know, it would appear to be when it's a distribution operation to be traded sector in that they're making a product that is being exported out of the local community. But for the time being, EDCO is not involved in any recruitment on these kind of operations. We're also evaluating whether they qualify, that there are state programs like Enterprise Zone that they might even qualify potentially for incentives that would be tax abatement types or other things that you might hear about.
That's gonna get you.
But those are state programs. We communicate what the requirements are, but we don't make any decisions as EDCO on whether somebody qualifies or not, just pass along the information. But we're in a neutral stance on it, but it does seem like it would meet the technical qualification for an exporter or traded sector type company. That's all I want to comment on.
And Enterprise is the prerogative of the city council, isn't it?
I'm not sure. We have the zone. If it's the 3-year one, I think if you meet the qualifications, you meet it. I don't think you can pick and choose, but I'm not sure.
I can just briefly elaborate on that. It's a statewide program, and the minimum qualification is a 3-year tax abatement. But in a rural area like La Pine, there are options to take that. The standard range is 3 to 5 years that a business can potentially, if they qualify, it's again based on state regulations. But in rural communities, they have what's called a long-term enterprise zone option that ranges from 5 to 15 years of property tax abatement that is decided locally. So on the short-term version, they either make the bar or they don't based on the state criteria, but on a long-term rural enterprise zone designation, that's in your domain to make those decisions.
There you go, Kathy. Okay, thank you very much. That was good input. Staff comments, sewer and water meeting is done, so. Anything else?
Working on our normal complaints and things that come in all the time. I did meet with the realtors, and Greg was here. Who else was here? We met with the realtors.
Yeah, realtors. Sure. Yeah,
we
were here.
Yeah, and I thought that went well. They seemed to like it. You know, and we had them all down. We had
24.
And you know, we're talking about our code enforcement and everything. So kind of educating them. We'll come back and do it again in 3 months or something.
Can I inject counselors? I have to tell you, that was one of the best meetings I've been to. There was real enthusiasm on the part of the real estate community associated with the industrial park and with what's going on in Central Oregon. So it was a great meeting. And the lunch was okay, too. So thank you, Rick. That was good.
Yeah, it's kind of a PR thing. They're also educating them to, you know, our plan. So they understand they have to turn in real site plans if they're going to sell something, and they draw it on a napkin. You know, we still get the napkins. We had one today. But you know, we'll go work on that. But we had one today that was not on a napkin. You know, so at 10 this morning, I met with a group. Well, he was here, our engineer. But we, yeah, you know, that one's more of a, obviously, a real plan. The other one was on a white piece of paper with a blue pen. And so you kind of get it all in between. BioGreen, I'm working with them. Their agreement on our six-month extension expires. Actually, it's in January, I discovered. So been working with the county on that a little bit as to, you know, if they were going to do an extension. And I've kind of told them they need to provide us some more information on water sewer usage and some of those things. So we're waiting that before we do anything else. So, you know, we don't know where that will all come. It could be that that purchase agreement on that land just expires. It could be that they renew it, and we're working on it. So that's one of those things that you don't read about or anything, but definitely behind the scenes, it's getting worked on. And I've had meetings with the county on it a couple times.
They're still wanting to move ahead?
They'd like to retain an option on the property. Okay. They don't, one thing about it, they're real upfront, they don't have any purchase agreement for power, so therefore they don't say, we're going to build in a year or two. But they want the option as they're working on getting the contract.
Isn't that detrimental to us? Because somebody else comes along, wants to buy that property, and it's hung up in an option? I mean...
It means that property's not available, but yeah. We have other land, so in that sense, it's yeah, that's plenty for a public meeting.
Is this still public comment?
Well, but yeah, but be careful.
Yeah.
Because these are tape recorded meetings. So, yeah, you know, there's good and bad. And, you know, we'll keep working forward and hopefully something good comes up.
Okay, very good. Anything else?
Anything else?
Merry Christmas.
Well, I'm going to take the little staff out to lunch next Wednesday.
So. I think we should go after 2.
To what?
After 2.
Oh, God.
Well, we're going to close at 2 and we're going to go to the brewery. So.
Yeah.
I'll let you do your own math.
We'll figure that out. So, yeah, maybe we'll do it on Tuesday. We might do it Tuesday. Actually, probably
for
better
5.
On Tuesday.
Kidding.
I guess that's... here's our landscape plan. Because I hadn't seen this. Our newest kind of the Eric's back here in the back. So went and added a few more trees and the lamp poster on here, so you can come by and look at that. That's our first street thing. That came in. It's all they haven't awarded the bid, but it came in $200,000 under what they'd estimated ODOT. So now we're going to make an ask for some of the landscaping costs. So.
I saw them breaking ground at the corner, 97 and Reed yesterday.
They were moving utilities.
Moving utilities, okay.
Is that probably what they're...
Yeah, those are franchise utility relocates.
Okay.
Right now.
I just saw the backhoe out there. Great. You're underway.
Yeah, that's kind of first thing, is get the utilities back. Mm-hmm. And we had to send them, you signed the bills, was $4,444. Mm-hmm. More, we paid $15,000 is all that we're going to have to pay to move some fire hydrants and all of that for the things. We were afraid we'd have to move some pipes and different things, but he helped get that all. But we did get a $200,000 bill, She actually puts a note on it to me. It says, what's this $200,000 bill from ODOT? She's like, what, when are we taking this out?
I'm glad I can't do that.
And I said, look, it's not, no, we're not. It's not our bill. So I called Salem, and then she called me today and said, no, no, it's not your bill. We misdid that. Those are the county.
I got a highlighter. Do not pay that bill. Yeah. Yellow highlighter. Do not.
So that's it.
Okay. Council, Stu, you want to start?
Oh, well, okay. I did today notice Mid-States down here putting some street lights in.
Yep, I saw one up down by the senior center.
Yep. Yeah. That one's lit.
So, you know, I noticed that today.
That's yeah, there should cool. be three or four going on.
Yeah. There were a couple things. Lead meeting was a good meeting. They had food, so it was a lunch meeting. And there's possibly, there is a retreat that's coming for the board that's going to take place. And Bill, is it?
Ron Miller.
Ron. Is heading that up, so that's going to be an exciting adventure. So there's some good things happening there.
New officers?
I'm sorry?
New officers elected for 2015?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and then I need to make some time for you and I to talk because I need to find some information out for you to report back to them.
To Led?
Yes. And then let's see, we did have the Wreaths Across America event took place. Another good turnout by the community.
Very nice.
Had a couple people in tears over it that it was unexpected. So I want to thank the community and the folks that came out for that. And of course the proclamation that we read tonight, for Chuck, you know, that was another well-attended service on Monday. So that's all I have. And I echo Ashley's Merry Christmas to everybody, whether you do Christmas, Hanukkah, whichever. Enjoy your time with family and be safe. Thank you.
FBLA report?
Not much going on FBLA-wise right now. So not a whole lot to report, but trying to do this every meeting. I have about 6 months left until I have to go off to college. And so we can talk, but if it's something that you'd like to have another student come in, I can talk with our leadership team and see if there's any student who wants to take it over. And then maybe we can try and get a transition going so it's not as big of a change. So we can talk, but just letting everyone know that I'm a senior in high school, and in about 6 months I'll graduate and be ready for college. So I won't be driving back every Wednesday for a meeting.
Thank
so
you.
That's all I have to say.
Great.
It's been a good meeting. I get prepared for tomorrow's small city meeting.
Well, that's right.
Are you going?
Yeah. That's what I like going to. It's in Rufus, so that's not ideal, but I like to hear all the new stuff that's going on so we can report to them. Every time we go to that meeting, our city, they look at us like, what are you guys on, you know? All the things that are happening, they're just amazed at how fast the city is growing and getting through the list of to-dos. So I hope to have a good report on that next time we get together.
Okay.
I'll be
at that. Merry Christmas.
I'll be at that tomorrow.
Yes, Rick's our guest speaker.
I'm going up with the guy from Redmond. But yeah, I'm one of the speakers there up in Rufus. But it's 100, it'll be 100 miles closer, 70 miles closer.
70 miles closer than me, yeah.
Than here. That's the only thing. Yeah.
Some interesting stories about Rufus out there.
I met the mayor.
Have you?
Yeah.
Nice
guy. So it'll be Maupin and Morrow and Brass Valley and Rufus and All those little towns up along the border.
The Rock. Sisters.
Oh, yeah. And sometimes, just before you, before you get to them, I forgot. Some of you already talked to St. Charles, but St. Charles is out talking to people, so that's formal. You get them tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
And Stu already did yesterday.
Today.
Today. I met today. And Jerry talked to him, and Kitty's going to be talking to him. And they had met about 30 people here. And so they were very serious about maybe opening up a clinic here. Wouldn't that be very good? A clinic with specialists and maybe immediate care, after hours, and all that kind of thing. So with radiology and a lab. So we were talking, him and I were talking about designs and all kinds of stuff and different locations and pros and cons of different locations and things. So they seem to be pretty in timelines and everything else. So there'll be a couple more of you surveyed, but he's about done with that. They're ready to take it to their board for a January vote, I think, to kind of move forward or at least take it to the next step. So that's good. And one other thing, you're on the Habitat was asked about fees for their replat to Habitat for Humanity over on, that's on your street.
It's on Newberry Woods subdivision.
Yeah.
It's in my neighborhood.
They have a plat, which a plat is basically something that's got all the little lots on it. It shows you how wide they are and where you would put houses. And they have them as the lots are quite a bit big. They're 6,000-7,000 square feet. And of course, the more bigger it is, the more it costs, or you could say it this way, the less houses you put in the cul-de-sac, because it's a cul-de-sac off of schedule, and it's sewer watered and it's paved, so they don't go on gravel at all. They want to, there are 11 lots in there, I think, believe it now is 11, they want to go to 16 or 17, they're going to pick up.
There's only 8 lots there.
Is there 8?
Yeah.
They're going to add, so what they're going to do is narrow the lots and do some zero lot line kind of houses, which it'll appear, the way I get it, is they're going to be like duplexes. It'll look like a duplex, but they own it. They own your half. Another way to think of it is condos.
Exactly. They're calling it townhouses.
Okay. Yeah. But townhouses can be for rent. And so zero lot line houses means there's a wall. Sometimes they put 2 2x4s together. They almost touch. I've seen some where they're 2x6s and you have a joint share of the wall. But the bottom line is you actually can get a loan and you own and you have title to your half. And so what they can do is get a lot more houses in there. So they have to replat it because it was platted for not that dense and everything. And so our fee for a replat, and I am having, Bill Adams was here today, is a $4,000 plus time and materials. They sent a letter asking that we would donate, basically, if it cost us $1,000 or $2,000, and we would refund them the balance. So I don't expect a reply or anything tonight, but that's what they're asking for. I know from a philosophy, we generally, you're not going to waive, because we just don't waive fees. You can't waive fees. Whether or not you want to make a donation to them down the road to offset it, it comes out the same. But we're going to do a little more research on some of this. If it's pretty simple, we might be able to do it for less anyway. You know. But right now, they would have to pay us, if they want us to get started, I mean, they would have to, unless we change something, they'd have to pay the $4,000, and then, you know, whether or not they get a refund back through our system. But we're not waiving, I mean, I would recommend that we not waive. And he didn't ask us to waive it, it's just that Bill told him no, which was the right answer. And because the problem, and he, of course, said it's a nonprofit, it helps people, but that half the people we deal with are nonprofits that help people. So, you know, we can't. It just doesn't work that way. So, I mean, when the skate park was built, they had a site plan fee of $400, I think it was, and they paid their $400. Every permit that comes in here is a good cause. Now, it may not be as important to you. If you're into Habitat, that's your number one cause. If you're into youth, it's that. Everyone's got it. St. Charles will ask. We're helping veterans, we're helping elderly. So it's a path that you just have to be, most cities it's no. And then again, if we want to make a contribution back, because it's a priority for you, you can do that. But the fee is the fee, it's a schedule. So, and he did actually send a letter in on that, and I don't have the authority to waive fees. So far we told them no, they haven't come in anymore and asked, so we'll get back to them. down the road. I don't know how big a hurry they are.
We're not in a hurry. Well, we're still working on the other piece of property, and we still have a few years yet.
Okay, so it's something new. And that's it.
Okay, Kevin?
Yep.
I guess I just want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and safety through the holidays, and look forward to everything that's going to happen next year.
Okay.
I want to do the same. Merry Christmas to all of you. Have a safe, safe holiday. I do want to say to the council that the lights in front of the senior center were going up as we passed there tonight. They're looking very good, and they lit up the street really nice.
No more.
Oh, you were okay?
Ready to cross off.
Anybody else?
Number 7.
Okay.
I was at the, this is interesting, so good of the order. I was at the Pac-12 championship for the Oregon last week, and that was where I was on vacation. I was in an air show convention too, but anyway, so, you know, I'm at the Levi Stadium and kind of San Jose, Santa Fe, where the 49ers play, and that's, we're in the parking lot, and I'm meeting up with the group that I was going to meet with. So I get there, you know, in this big stadium with 50,000 people, and it's so funny because I'm there doing what we do at tailgates. And so I tell them that I work at Lapine, and the people right next to us are Lapine residents who had driven down to the Pac-12 championship.
We had a young man from Lapine competing in that Dr. Pepper thing to win the scholarship money, the $100,000 scholarship.
Oh, that threw the ball?
Yeah, he was from Lapine. The guy that lost.
Oh, the girl got...
The girl
beat him. I did not know he was from Lapine. How did that happen? How did he get drawn for that?
It was a contest through Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
Way to go, Lapine.
Yeah, it was so weird. I have all those people here in cars.
That's
not embarrassing.
Yeah. Huh. Oh, I didn't know that. That's interesting on that thing. He lost by about one more throw. Yeah. He could add that in there.
Yeah, it was close.
Well, I don't really... I was going to mention the lights, but everybody else has, so they do look good, and I'm not sure how many more they're putting in, but I saw them having one up, and they were putting up the second one up. And when I came by after dark, I only saw one of them lit, so I don't know if I missed the other one or what.
They, I don't think they're up yet, really.
They were working on
two of them. One of them's lit.
Oh.
Yeah, the one at the corner for the senior center, it was lit.
Any chance one going on Finley View?
Finley
View,
what?
97.
A
decorative pole, no.
Oh, just the light.
Oh,
it's a decorative pole.
Yeah, these are. Yeah, I mean, we can't.
Fancy. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have any. I mean, we're now with our money and everything, things are planned.
Yeah.
And we did that. And so you don't just go pick one corner. So, you know. When the grant comes through, we're going to have those kind of lights all the way through town.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I mean, unless, again, the council, you can certainly prioritize, say, I want to go, you know, but you will sprinkle these everywhere.
Yeah.
And they're actually, these lights right here, it would take $75,000? Mm-hmm. To do the decorative lights in, you know, you see these black dots,
uh-huh.
And then here, $75,000. So you just don't have the, you know, because it's the power and the conduit and all the requirements and the lights themselves, the concrete stands that hold them up. It's about, I think it's about $5,000 a piece, or, and out here it might be. Yeah. So.
That's we move along some of the streets.
Yeah. We've done a good, if you look over the last year now, you've picked up 20, well, between these and those and Huntington Meadows and Finley Butte.
Yeah.
And in front of the high school, I was at the game last night and I was looking at all the lights, you know, along there.
Mm-hmm. Nice out there. Coach.
Coach. Yeah.
Yeah. Any other discussion? Hearing none, entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 adjourn.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, all the State Board members.